Hello and welcome to another edition of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is your host, John Jantz, and my guest today is David Mattson. He is the CEO and a partner at Sandler Systems, Inc. Sandler Training is quite possibly the leading sales and management training company in North America with 250 partner franchise offices throughout North America and beyond. So, David, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
So, Sandler is, without doing the entire history, of course, but I think David started sort of developing this in the 50s, 60s, 70s, right?
He did, yes.
Yeah, so you know, been around for a while, continue to train lots and lots of sales folks. I guess today what I hear this, you know, quite a bit from people that, you know, any change means, you know, We've got to change our ways of doing things and change, you know, in business. And obviously, we've gone through a lot of, I think, some pretty rapid changes the last few years. But you know, what are you seeing? Because I know you talk to lots of CEOs, lots of sales managers. I mean, what are they telling you? You know, that has changed or that now is sort of befuddling them.
You know, John, you're right. I mean, being a training organization worldwide, we do about 84,000 hours of training. So think about how many times we're in front of sales forces, we're in front of sales managers, we're in front of CEOs. And what we see is there's a pattern, because if you think about what's gone on globally, certainly from the economic standpoint, is that companies have gone through what I'm going to call that lean approach, right? They've stripped every portion of an organization. They've taken every nickel possible out of the waste category. And that happened in manufacturing years ago. Certainly companies have done that now, and they've, whatever we're going to call it, downsize, right size, whatever the term is. And now they've also focused that same mentality to the sales group, which has never, ever been done. Because most organizations kind of look at sales as a art form versus a science. And for the first time, which Sandler's a huge proponent of, it is a science. I mean, salespeople certainly aren't born. They're made, you know.
Right.
So, you know, what are some of the trends? And as they looked at it as science, here's some of the big things that I hear people talking about every single meeting that I'm in. One is, how do I help this middle group? And I call it the movable middle. If you think about any organization, you got the top 20%, let's say, you got the bottom 20%. You've got this middle 60%, which most people haven't spent a lot of time on. I mean, John, they forget the top because no one wants to mess with them. They go down and spend an exorbitant amount of time with the bottom 20. But really, if they could move that movable middle, that 60% by 10 points, 15 points, think about the revenue that would be generated. So how do we do that? And that is a huge focus of most companies. The other one I find is, how do I create bench strength? You know, over the last 2 or 3 years, either my management bench strength or all of my sales group, you know, we've moved on or we've changed. I mean, the market has changed, and how we go to selling has changed. So how do I create a bench strength? Because bringing people from the outside is certainly an option, but I would like to start to build that internal strength and bench. I think the other one is, you know, they're really focused on, as they always have been, but really seriously now, how do we get more products and services per customer? And how do we go deep and wide with our, you know, our relationships, which then goes to the fourth big one and the last one that I see all the time, which is a team sell situation. You know, if we're going to go deep and wide, we're going to have multiple products and services per customer. You know, we've got different groups within the organization or our partner organizations selling into our customer, and we really have to be on the same page. And you've always heard, hey, how do you get sales and marketing on the same page? How do you get sales and engineering on the same page? And that's a real issue, because you have to, you know, have a common language, common approach in order to be a seamless transition when you're in front of that potential customer, and that's a real issue.
Well, and you know, one of the things, of course, I hear a ton is that, you know, we as a society have gotten really a lot better at blocking out unwanted messages, unwanted, or at least what we think are possibly unwanted sales calls. You know, the TiVos and the do not call lists and the, you know, all those tools that we've developed. I mean, that's the one challenge that I keep hearing from people is, gosh, it's harder just to even get heard now. And what are you seeing, or what are you, you know, what changes are people making, to deal with that?
I think that's certainly true. It's much harder to get in, and I think it's compounded by the fact that we may be leaning too much on technology and kind of forgotten the fact that you actually have to do the work, right? And what I mean by that is, I'll always ask for people's recipe for success, or at Sandler we call it a cookbook, and I'll ask somebody, how many new conversations do you need every week or every month in order for you to hit your numbers? And you would be surprised, it's less than 5% of the people can tell you that number. And so if you peel back the onion, it's a lot harder. But we also don't have a plan for us to say, I've got to create a prospecting plan for me to go and find ways to talk to people that may be different from 2 years ago. I know for us, as an example, our number one way to find new people used to be what we call an executive briefing, where we sent out invitations and people would come to a 90-minute program and say, wow, this is really good. I learned a ton of stuff. I'd like to find more about Sandler. Well, getting people to those programs is a lot harder, to your point, than it was 3 to 5 years ago, right? So now they're using relationships or using social media a lot differently than they ever had in the past. And it's just, it takes a different skill set. But at the end of the day, you still have to be proactive in those activities, John.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think, and when you tell this people, you can kind of see them wrestling with it in their head, and then the light bulb comes on, and they go, you know, you're right. I mean, it's still networking. I mean, it's, you know, we maybe do it now by meeting somebody at a chamber event and then connecting with them on LinkedIn and then having a couple conversations about, you know, what you know, they did to, you know, to solve a problem, and then finally maybe we get to a sales presentation of some sort. And I think that that's the part that so many people miss, is that what has always worked hasn't changed. Maybe how we're approaching it is changing.
That's right. And I think the prospect has so many more tools now to find out more about you, as we do as salespeople have more tools to figure out who our prospect is. And I mean, quite frankly, we should really be leveraging those and talking intelligently versus the blind cold call. Because you're right, people are really guarded. They have more to do at work than they ever had in their past. So to spend an hour with somebody not really knowing the agenda is not something that happens often, you know, like it used to, for sure.
Well, and the beauty of some of these new online tools, at least if people master how to use them, is I think that while it may be harder to get to people, you can actually know more about people, I think, than we ever used to. And shame on you if you ever go on a call without knowing a great deal about the prospect anymore.
That's absolutely true. I mean, how are you going to develop those, what we are going to call pain questions, or how do you leverage even your own network and experience? And, you know, I think the biggest asset that salespeople have is they have the ability to go and size up a situation and kind of react to it. But that's also the greatest deficit as well, right? They go and wing it because they think I've got 25 years of experience. I can wing it. That's, you know, I know so much. But I got to tell you, that's less and less true. It should have never been true, but it's certainly you're far more exposed these days than you have been in the past.
Well, and you know, the flip side of that, it's easy for us to know more about a prospect. The flip side of that, that I think probably ought to scare some salespeople to death, is that it's very likely your prospect now knows more about your product or service than you do.
Oh. How many times have we all walked into a meeting? They have a folder over there that you can clearly see, because one of the skills that we have as salespeople is we can write and read upside down, right? And you see that all your competitors are listed out. They've got a chart, pros and cons, and you're like, how did this happen? I haven't even opened my mouth yet.
Exactly.
But there's a ton of information, and you know, and they're armed and dangerous, and we have to understand that. We have to be, you know, react to it appropriately.
Now, the basis of the Sandler training really kind of came through this psychological study of make sure I get the word right. I know everybody calls it TA, transactional analysis. Is that theory still really hold true as kind of the basis for the Sandler system?
Well, I think it's certainly an underpinning. We've got quite a few different foundations. I think that, yeah, you certainly have to understand all the things that are going on in your head. Because if you look at success, and we have something called the success triangle, I think people have to really focus on attitude, behavior, and technique. Most salespeople as a profession and leaders, we're always for the technique. Give me the words, right. Give me the move, give me the script.
What's
and
the close?
Yeah, of course. You know, you try to memorize it, and then you realize the prospect doesn't have the same script, so that didn't exactly work, you know. And even though I know what to say, doesn't mean I'm going to say it, right? Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I know in dieting, I know not to eat that. That doesn't really matter. So if you focus on the attitudes and the behaviors, and that's really where I think we excel, is to say, yeah, here's the move, and here's how you need to behave properly in order to be successful, and then here's how you need to think differently. And I think that's true in everything that you do. I think the other thing that separates us is the reinforcement, you know, because you can't get fixed in one day, right?
Right, right.
And there's so many things that we have to do as professionals that today I may be focusing on account development, I may be focusing on presentation skills, but I focus it on those topics when it's important to me, John. And see, that's the thing. So if you can continually get reinforced, then I think that's the path. I mean, I've got 5 children. They certainly didn't go to school for one day, right? They've gone over time. And so that's kind of been our approach, but always through the reinforcement, it's attitude, behavior, and technique. And I think the other thing that really separates us is that we go in with a completely different mindset. First of all, most salespeople have happy ears, right? Mm. And they kind of show up and throw up all that product knowledge and do those things. In traditional sales models, the presentation stage, whatever they would call it, tends to be in the front of the model. At Sandler, it's actually at the very back of the model. So we're going to go in and certainly, yes, do bonding and rapport. We're going to set some agendas. I think most sales calls don't have an agenda. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't truly tell the prospect what we're trying to achieve. We never really ask them what are the 2 or 3 things they want to know before the end of the meeting. So, and then what are we going to decide on? So we have some agenda skills that we teach, but we're going after, you know, are they willing and able? So, and then, do they have pain? Do they have budget? Do they have decision? And then based on their issues, let's create a presentation, which we call fulfillment, that matches their needs, not we just show up and throw up our product knowledge. And by any, you know, in any stage, if the prospects look like their problems aren't things that we can solve, or they don't have the ability to do that, then we don't really have to go to the presentation stage.
Well, in fact,
that really changes it.
I think Sandler's sort of famous for the get to the no quickly, right?
Exactly. That is our whole thing, right?
Yeah, and I think that if, you know, personally, if thinking about my history of, you know, all the sales presentations I've made in, you know, 20-some years of owning my business, you know, once you come to that realization, you're almost thankful to, you know, to not have being, you know, the worst words I can hear is, well, give me a proposal.
Yeah, let me think it over, right?
Yeah, right. And in fact, I know Sandler initially put some of these things out, and I think you were actually instrumental in sort of documenting the rules, if you will, that Sandler's built on. And there are a couple of them that I think are, you know, that many people are probably – maybe even if they didn't know it came from Sandler, they've heard somebody say, you know, things like answer every question with a question.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about that. I mean, how many times have somebody said a statement that we thought was a question,
right,
and it really was not? Like, hey, your price is too high. Well, that's not actually even a question,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know? And we kind of just jump in to defend, or clarify. So I think Sandler has always said, become a psychologist. If you know, what do psychologists do? They really ask a series of questions. And I believe that the series of questions creates credibility,
yeah,
creates clarity. And for the first time, what you're going to see is the light bulbs go on with your prospect because they have an opportunity to talk things through, which they have never done before. And they start connecting the dots. And you get credit for that as a salesperson because you're the one who facilitated that. And if you're going to answer a question, you know, Sandler would always say, answer the right question.
Right.
So you're right.
Yeah, and I think there's so many times when, you know, we're just interpreting, and you know, you can interpret wrong and end the sale, right?
Absolutely.
Go down completely the wrong path. And another one I love, if I can throw a couple out,
sure.
Never help the prospect end the interview. Another great one.
Well, it's true, right? At the end of the day, how many times have we done that? Sandler used to always say, you know what's over when you hear the click on the phone, or, you know, with the prospect tells you it's over. But I think sometimes salespeople get uncomfortable and they say, well, why don't you think that over? Or let's set up another time to talk. And, you know, I always feel, and I certainly we got this from Sandler, is the time to sell and the time to have that two-way communication is face-to-face, you know, person-to-person, and don't bail out. And I think most of the times we bail out when if you just let it happen, then it'll work. And I've always, the best line that I ever learned from Sandler was, based on where we are, it may not make sense for us to move forward. It may even be over. And just be quiet, because if your prospect agrees, they'll be happy to tell you. But when you tell a prospect there may not be a fit, you'll find that they tend to defend. Wait a minute now. Oh, wait.
Well, I'm not good enough for you?
it's very subtle. We call it, you know, it's, but it's the pendulum. But if you go negative slightly, they don't like that. And they'll say, wait a minute now. It's counterintuitive, but very powerful.
But I think that's a little bit because, you know, how many people who are across the desk, you know, feel like their job is to defend. You know, you're going to try to sell me something I don't need or that I know I won't use because of my past history, right? Yeah. And I think that we have that shield up, and I think that that probably has a great deal of impact of sort of bringing that shield down. Oh, wait, you're actually willing to walk away? Maybe I should think differently about this.
Well, how powerful is it, John, in the first couple minutes of a call to just say, you know, I know we have a 45 minutes together over the next hour or so, why don't we decide and ask each other enough questions for us to decide if it makes any sense for us to even have another meeting, you know? And if it doesn't, we should feel free to say that. And you should see the people's reaction when you say that in the first couple of minutes. They're like, wow. You know, I thought you were supposed to dim the lights, do the 700 PowerPoint presentation. And, you know, it's just you've leveled the playing field on both sides, but you've also lowered the defense mechanisms. Because think about how hard it is for all the people who listen, is you've got to go in a very short amount of time is to create an environment of trust, and people have conviction and confidence that you've heard them, you understood, and you have a solution. That's a hard thing to do in the amount of time prospects give us.
Well, and I will say one other key is, I mean, you can read all these scripts you want and practice all these tricks, but, I mean, the real key is you have to absolutely positively mean it.
Yeah.
And that's the part that I think every now and then, you know, people fail because, you know, if you truly are going and saying, hey, I'm going to make 10 calls today and I hope, you know, six of them send me out the door pretty quickly so I can focus on the, you know, the four where we have a fit as opposed to, you know, the opposite of let's see who I can sell today.
Now, I used to count how many no's. I'm looking for 22 no's today, you know, and I would always turn the negative into a positive. But I also believe what you said is 100% accurate. I think our own beliefs dictate our outcome. You know, we have positive and negative self-talk. Think about how productive you are on a call after you've made a big sale. I mean, you're unstoppable. At the same time, when you think it's going horribly wrong, it doesn't get much better. It's kind of like golf, right? Yeah. If you say, don't hit the water, oh, look what I did, I hit the water.
Right. You know? Yeah, absolutely. You have, I know one of the tools that you offer to folks, and when we were talking off call, you offered to offer it to my folks, and that is the kind of executive briefings and where somebody could actually come in and get a taste of one of your, you know, professionals, you know, talking about the very various tools that you offer, or not just the tools you offer, but just the approach in great detail. Is that something that, how would somebody acquire that?
Yeah, if they went to Sandler.com, they can type in wherever they're located. We have 250 training centers, and I'm guessing there's one nearby them. But all you have to do is call and say, hey, I heard Dave Mattson, and he invited me in. That's all it'll take. But what they'll be able to do is go in and listen to a three-hour program. And they can pick the topic, whatever is exciting to them. And at the end of the day, really the value is they're going to leave with stuff they can implement tomorrow because it's not a commercial. And they'll have to decide whether that makes sense and it makes sense for them to talk or not. But at the end of the day, they'll leave with great information. And certainly they can all go as my guest, John.
Well, great. I appreciate that. And I've actually, there's a couple, I'm in Kansas City, Missouri, and Rich Brooks is here, who I'm sure you are quite familiar with. I know you have a couple others here, but I've bumped into Rich out there before. And, you know, great person and has a great business.
They do. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, what separates us, and if you've ever been in a class, you'll know what I'm saying is true. You know, we have never taken trainers and turned them into great salespeople. We at Sandler have always found great leaders, great salespeople, and turned them into fantastic trainers. So when they have credibility in front of the room, if somebody says, here's how you close, and somebody says, well, let me role play with you, Sandler trainer, they'll say, great, you play prospect, I'll play salesperson, let's go. Mm-hmm. And that is so powerful when somebody can see it and then imitate it later, and they know that the person is giving them that information. John does it every day. I mean, that is such, you know, a breath of fresh air.
Well, we have exhausted our time, Dave. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. I know those 250 folks probably keep you busy. Those 250 offices probably keep you busy around North America and the world. And I appreciate you taking the time to share what's new and what's coming and what's changing in the ever important world of sales.
Well, John, thanks for having us. I know that, as you said, a lot of our offices are working with your group, and it's a heck of an organization. Look forward to a great relationship.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, John.
Take care.
Bye-bye.